So you would think what I'm holding in my hand right here is simply Betty Crocker Rich and Creamy Milk Chocolate Frosting. You'd think that's all that I'm holding in my hand here. Little insider tip here. If you don't have cake, you can put this on graham crackers and eat it. It is really good. It's good for you, too. You would think, but what I'm holding in my hand is actually more than simply chocolate frosting. Let's look at Matthew 25 for just a moment, starting at verse 31. And from there, perhaps we can get a better grasp of what this actually is. Matthew 25, beginning of verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives when He is offering this teaching to the disciples. The Mount of Olives was just east of Jerusalem, and it was given its name because of all the olive groves that were on this mountain ridge. So I want us to get this picture in our minds. Jesus sitting down, talking with the disciples about important things such as the last days. What is to come? What is to be expected for the world? What's to be expected for God's people? Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There is so much that I love about this congregation. I mean, I love this church. One of the things that I love the most about us, this church, is the way that we love others, specifically through the food pantry. You see, this, it's not just frosting, it's a gift of love. Really, it's a gift of love to those in the community, the language that Jesus uses, to the hungry. But it's even more than a gift of love for someone in our community that is hungry. It is a gift of love to Jesus Himself. So in this passage, there's two observations I'd like to make. One is that the basis of judgment in this parable is how you have treated the least of these, the hungry, the sick, the imprisoned, the stranger. That in itself should cause us to reflect on our life and how we are living our lives. So that's the first observation. The second one is that Jesus identifies Himself as one of the least of these. whatever you did for one of these, who did you do it for? Jesus says, you did it for me. The food pantry and that all that is entailed in that important work, I believe, is just one of the clearest, most powerful ways of living out this teaching that Jesus offers. It's an embodiment of this teaching. I appreciate so much the leadership and the vision of Terry Sue and Ezra Bettis. And I know there are so many others that are working in that ministry. As a matter of fact, if you come up here on a Monday morning, a Tuesday, even a Wednesday, and specifically on Wednesday nights, you will see God's people at work in a powerful way, living out this teaching, offering a gift of love to those in our community and offering a gift to Jesus himself. Let's watch this video together.
Accepted, be blessed.
I'm gonna keep on working till he comes, till he comes. There's nothing in this world worth turning around to see. My eyes are on the prize that's awaiting me by and by. And I'm gonna keep on working till he comes.
Well, working in the food pantry has really opened my eyes to the need in the community. Just being able to bless these folks every week with food has been very enlightening for me. And it's also given me the opportunity to personally reach out to some of the folks and actually be a blessing to them as well myself. You know, I'm very thankful that we have the opportunity to do this as a church.
What I like about the food pantry is I get to meet people, talk to them, have fun, joke around. And it means a lot to me because God is providing, to me, God has provided me with groceries through the pantry.
Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. And that's what food pantry is all about, for serving God and then serving the people in the community. Fran and I both, because we both work in the food pantry, and to see these people get food that they cannot pay for it themselves. So the food pantry has made the difference in my life like you wouldn't believe.
All who are weak, come to the fountain.
By working in the food pantry, I've learned humility. Probably more than anything, I've learned to put people's needs ahead of mine, and I've learned what true need is, and I've never experienced that in my life. You have no idea how much effort goes into making this food pantry work. It is my blessing to work here.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
We've been able to meet an amazing amount of people, and I have seen it work in so many people's lives. And watching the people here in the food pantry and the joy that they get from being able to come here and not just get food, but to share their lives with others, to have somebody to talk to that they may not have on a daily basis. So, a godsend to have the ability to be able to help these people in any way that they need, not just for food, but also just to help them in their daily lives and to give them a little bit of joy and help supply the needs that they have.
I think one of the clearest ways that I've seen God work in the food pantry is just by some of the food pantry clients becoming members of our church.
One of the ways I've seen God really work through food pantry is just the abundance that is available. So many people that haven't even been here, don't even know the church, donate food. All the groceries, you know, the different grocery stores provide us food. And I think that's just wonderful.
Made me stronger in my faith to be able to talk to them about the blessing that this congregation has been able to provide to them through the ministry of the food pantry. The ministry here with the food pantry has been a real blessing to me. The friendships I formed with the regulars that come through is just awesome. And to see the gratitude and to hear the gratitude that they express about the food that they get and the blessings that they get, and the prayers that they feel like that they can ask for from us is just tremendous.
I go to the food bank and pick up the food that we distribute on Wednesday night. That particular day, we had some frozen food, and I noticed that there was one steak in all of the frozen food that we brought in that day. What I didn't know was that this little lady, she was at Walmart and she was hungry for a steak. And she thought, well, I'll take some of my money and go buy a steak. And then she told us that she decided that wasn't the thing to do. She didn't really need steak that bad. Came to the food pantry that night. And she came through the line, and we don't pick things for people. We let them pick the things that they want for the most part. And then when we get to the meat, we usually just hand it to them. Guess what she got that night? She got that one steak. And if you don't think God worked in that way, you don't know Him like I do.
Good morning. You know, I've been reading the Old Testament lately, and part of my reading this week, I found myself in Deuteronomy, and if you read the first few chapters of that, you'll see that Moses spent a great deal of time going over the history of what the nation of Israel had gone through to remind them before they went into the Promised Land. And so I think it's important for us to remember the history of our church and things that have happened here. And so this morning I'm going to tell a little bit of the story of how Brighter Days Food Pantry kind of got started. It actually goes back to the year 2005 when me and my family were living in Lubbock and I lost my job. And so during the next several months, I really threw myself into the outreach ministry that we had there at the Greenlawn Church of Christ in Lubbock. And I'll tell you that outreach scared me almost as much as speaking in front of people scares me. So I wasn't real comfortable with that, but I really felt that that's where God was calling me. And so what we would do is we'd go out to a local park, and we'd take some groceries out there in a trailer, and we would pass out groceries to the people in that neighborhood, and we would offer them prayers. And it even developed into having Bible studies there in the park. And I know I saw that we were really starting to make a difference in that community, and it even grew into things like refinishing homes and fixing plumbing and roofs and things like that. And I know that ministry is still going on today. But I just really felt that I wasn't looking for work outside of Lubbock, because I just believed that there was no way that God wanted to take us away from the good works that we were doing there at the church. We were involved in other ministries. I just couldn't believe that God would want to take me away from Greenlawn. But in in the fall of 2005, I attended a men's retreat in Ruidoso. And from the encouragement that I received there, I started looking for work outside of Lubbock. And after 7 months, I found a job down here. And we moved to the Austin area, moved here to Cedar Park. And we began attending a church here at Leander. I still felt that God was calling me to work in the outreach. And I remember so clearly that Dane Boyles was our preacher at the time. And I remember sitting down with him in his office and sitting across the desk from him. And I said, I feel like God wants me to work in some sort of outreach. And he took off his glasses, rubbed the bridge of his nose and said, I've been praying for 7 months for God to bring somebody here to work outreach with me. You see, that whole time that I was out of work, God was preparing me for what he wanted me to do down here. All that time, we were beautifully, our needs were beautifully met. Never missed our rent, never paid, missed any bills. We had food that whole time. I just want to let you know that you may feel like you're going through some struggles in your life, that there may be things that aren't situations that are a struggle for you, but perhaps God is seasoning you. Maybe he's preparing you for some great work that he has planned for you. So what we started here in Leander was something similar to what we had done in Lubbock. Went out and we bought some groceries, and we put out some flyers in one of the neighborhoods near here, and we went out to one of the local parks. We told them we'd be there on Wednesday night passing out groceries. And I don't know, there were maybe six or seven men that we got in the church van, and we went out there to the park that night, and nobody showed up, didn't give away any groceries that night. We went back a few more weeks, continued to put out flyers to let people know we were coming, and we probably did that for, I don't know, a month or maybe a little longer, and nobody ever came. And, you know, we could have quit right then, but instead of that, we just kind of altered our approach. Starting in the summer of 2007, we decided we'd start what we called at that time Taking Jesus to the Streets. And what our goal always was and still continues to be with our food pantry is to build relationships with people. It's not so much about feeding them. Yes, that's critical and important. But the most important for us was to build relationships with people so that we have the opportunity to not just feed them physically, but to feed them spiritually. And one of the things we did was called, we had Jesus Walkers, or Jaywalkers. I remember BW was one of them. We had a map of the local area, and we had different blocks assigned to different people. And so they would go out and they'd put out flyers that said, we're going to be passing out groceries in front of the church building. Instead of going to the park, we set up a pop-up canopy out by the street. And so we put out those flyers, and now our numbers just skyrocketed. We started helping two or three families a week. and we continued to do that for that summer. In 2008, we decided it was a little hot out near the street, so we moved the canopy a little bit closer to the building into some shade. And still, we were just helping three or four families a week. And we continued to do that for 5 years until 2011. By now, our numbers had climbed to, you know, there were weeks we might help as many as a dozen families. Most of the time, it was quite a bit less than that. In fact, August 17th, 2011, looking back at my records, after 5 years, we helped three families that night. And what we were giving them was basically about two bags worth of groceries with just some dry goods, a lot of what we brought here today. You know, I really believe that God was just testing us because he wanted to see what our commitment was. He knew what he was going to build out of this ministry, and he needed to know that we weren't going to quit. One of the verses that gave me strength during that time was Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You know, if you've got a ministry and it's not growing as fast as you want, just remember that it's all about God's timing. You know, you may feel like you're not even on God's clock sometimes. I'm sure everybody's felt that way at times. But just realize that there's never a time when God doesn't realize what's in our hearts and what's on our mind. And if we remain hopeful,
He's going to give us renewed strength. In fact, Isaiah 40:31 tells us that. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, as humans, we have a tendency, we want to know what, where, when, and why. How's things going to happen? But in Acts 1, verse 7, Jesus tells us, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. So year after year after year, we continue to give out just this handful of groceries to people. But we continue to pray that God would let us see the increase in the crop from the seeds that we were planting. In October 2011, we partnered with the Central Texas Food Bank. And what that did for us, it allowed our money to go a lot further. We're able to buy for what we would pay for a case of green beans at HEB, we could buy 4 or 5 cases of beans for that. It also allowed us access to things like meats and vegetables and things that we were able to get. So now just to remind you, our church, Leander Church, has had a pantry for decades. They had a pantry right out from behind the pulpit back here. And the secretaries, Janet and before, for decades have been helping people. So this is just kind of talking about Brighter Days Pantry and what it's grown into. But on October 26, 2011, we opened our first night after partnering with the Central Texas Food Bank. And we were expecting massive numbers. I found an old flyer that I put out that said we were expecting anywhere from 50 to 150 people that night. We convinced them to put it out on the marquee that we were giving out free groceries. There was a little bit of concern that we weren't going to have enough groceries that night. How many hundreds of people might show up? That night we served 22 families. That's a good number. I'd be happy if we could continue to do that. But from there, it began to grow and began to grow rapidly. It became more than just a Wednesday night ministry. That's when we changed the name to Brighter Days Food Pantry, and I kind of passed off the baton to Terry Sue because there was so much more work to be done during the week. And if you know anything about Terry Sue, she's a great recruiter. She has vision, and she's able to draw people into that vision and get them excited about it as well. It's grown to the point now where we serve anywhere from 85 to 100, or as in last week, over 120 people. Here's just some of the numbers, the total numbers that we've been able to do since 2011. We've helped almost 20,000 families, which represents 72,000 people. We've given away enough food for 425,000 meals. That deserves an amen, right? So for those who might not know, here's kind of how Brighter Days Pantry works. We have, as they come in, we have intake tables set up front, and we check them in there, but we also offer them prayers at that time. And I tell you what, if you want to be humbled, if you want to know what we're truly doing, you need to sit at one of those tables. We can always come sit with one of our people that are already there, or come down and train and become an intake person yourself. But what you'll hear there is you'll hear heartache, but you'll also hear thanksgiving. It's amazing some of the struggles these people are going through, but all they want to do is tell us how thankful and appreciative they are. We hear that they want prayers from us, and sometimes they even want to lead the prayer. They want to pray for us. After they're checked in, we send them over to a cart attendant. And the reason we chose to do this, it's not the most efficient way. We could bag the groceries. We could process people a lot quicker. But again, that goal has always been to have relationships with people. And so we assign them a cart attendant so they get that one-on-one attention. And that's where the relationship that Jared Oliver and Tom Clifford built. You know, Tom Clifford was a client of ours for a while. And Jared and him built a friendship because Jared helped him several weeks or months past, you know, helping him out with his groceries. So when Tom stopped showing up, Jared took it upon himself to find what was going on. And he found out that Tom was too sick, that he was battling cancer. And so Jared would come and pick up his groceries for Tom. And at the end of the night, then he would take all that over, and he continued to provide that need for Tom and Kathy. You know, God has blessed our efforts in so many ways. When we needed, now we're partnered with a lot of different grocery stores. He's given us new refrigerators and freezers when we've needed them. When our trailer wasn't big enough to haul all the groceries anymore, he provided a new trailer. He's put the desire in the hearts of so many of y'all to help. You know, we start on Saturday, whether rain or shine, we're out there getting groceries, just like yesterday morning, in the pouring down rain, bringing in bread and meats. Then on Monday morning, we have people come in. There's about 10 to 15, as kind of Rob alluded to, that bring in the groceries from the different vendors, have to sort that out and refrigerate it. Then on Tuesday's our big pickup that Jim Clement kind of heads that, as he drives down and has been driving for us for years, going down to the food bank to pick up that big order. And there's about 20 people that sort all that out and get it set up. Then on Wednesday night, of course, we have people showing up about 5 o'clock in the evening to start getting ready to pass out the groceries. So there's plenty of opportunity. You know, the need for food in this country, we may be a very blessed country, but there's still a great need for food. You know, hunger affects everybody across all boundaries. It doesn't matter. It's whether you're working families. Most of our people aren't homeless. They're just underemployed, or maybe they're disabled or chronically ill. The numbers say that in Williamson County, 15% of the people are what they call food insecure. That's 90,000 people in Williamson County that are food insecure. And what that means is that they have to make a choice. Do I buy groceries or do I buy my medicine? Do I pay my bills or do I buy groceries? 15% of the people. From the pantry, from the food pantry, so many other ministries have grown out of that, have come to life. We're looking, you know, we were looking for something to do with the children. A lot of the families will bring their kids with them, and so we were looking for an opportunity to share Christ with the children who came to the pantry, and that's where our Bible science class has come from, that Courtney Kirk and her group have done such a wonderful job with, and several of the kids from the community come to that. The Sanders have started the clothes closet, because they saw a need there, and so they're able to help through that. Folks' lives are being touched. So to all of the volunteers, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much. You may feel like you're just going through the motions. Sometimes it kind of becomes routine for all of us. Maybe we even get a little tired. We all grow a little weary at times, but realize that people's lives are being made better by what we're doing, because we're showing them love. We're showing them Jesus. To those who may be interested in volunteering, I'm letting you know that we have plenty of room for you. And it doesn't matter what day of the week, when you have opportunity, let us know, and we can find some way that you could be able to help. You know, maybe some of our current volunteers are ready to move on to other ministries. Maybe they have other things they need to move on to. I ask that you continue to pray for the church, for the church to continue to be this light to the community. You know, we're known as a giving church. People in this community know that Leander can help them. We are being the hands and feet that God's called us to be. I also want each of you to be praying for God to use you. I want you to pray for God to reveal what it is, his will that he has for you. Where does he want you directing your efforts? And then once you have that vision, I challenge you to share that with other people here. Share that with us so that we can be drawn into that and so that we can help support you. You know, people stayed away from our pantry by the thousands for years. Felt like we couldn't even feed a starving man at times. But because we were faithful, by us being faithful, God has used this church family in great ways. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And he's made this ministry beautiful. It just took some time. I don't want any of you to feel like you may not have enough to give. You know, like I said, I was and I still am afraid of outreach. It scares me. But all throughout Scripture, we see that God's power worked greatest in some of the weakest and the least people, some of the most common people. so God can use you. Maybe you just have a little bit to give. Maybe you feel like your talents are just modest, but God can use them if you let him. And I'll close with this. In Hebrews 13:11, let me step back. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that the sacrifices were made outside the city gates, and the bodies were burned outside the city, and the blood was brought into the temple for the sacrifice. And in Hebrews 13:11, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, it says, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. That's what we need to do, is get outside the city gates. We need to get outside these four walls, because that's where we'll find the outcast. It's where we find the poor, it's where we find the hungry, and most importantly, it's where we find the lost. And if we're willing to take up our cross and bear the cross daily, then we have that opportunity to reach out and reach the lost. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the work that's being done through this church. We thank you for giving this church the desire to love our neighbors. We ask that you'll help each one of us to seek your will and to find your will for our lives. We ask, Lord, that you help us to go outside the city gates and be willing to spread your love to the community. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah, God's at work. Thank you so much, Ezra. Thank you, Terry Sue, for your leadership and your vision in that ministry. We are a people who are seeking to be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is by loving our neighbors near and far. That's what's happening through the food pantry. We're loving our neighbors near in the community. I want to encourage you again to reiterate one of the things that Ezra said. Find ways, pray for ways that you can serve others. Specifically, if you're interested in working in the food pantry, talk to Ezra, talk to Terry Sue, talk to Ken, talk to Jim, talk to somebody about that, and they'll find ways to get plugged in for that. And if you haven't been down to the fellowship hall on a Wednesday evening, go do it next Wednesday if you can. Go down there and watch how the love of Jesus is shared in a very tangible way with people. You will see God at work. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, here in a moment, Rob is going to lead us in an invitation song. As we traditionally do, we want to offer an invitation. There might be someone here, maybe you, are ready to give your life over to Jesus this morning. So we'd love to witness you make that decision today. If you need the prayers of the church family, you can let us know what's going on in your life, and we'd be glad to pray with you or for you. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we continue to worship our amazing God.